This morning was the end of the Shiva in Har-Nof. Last week when I said the Shir, it was really in the middle of everything when I made it here to say the Shir. And unfortunately, it was right after the Shir here that I discovered the extent of the tragedy. I live at number 16, Agassi. The shul at which the terror attack took place is number 5, up the block across the street. My shul is number 10, other side of the street. Number 12, a very good friend, Avram Goldberg, was killed. Number 14, young man Chaim Rothman. Rothman is in an extremely serious condition, very serious condition. Number 16, my building, that's where Arye Kupinski lived. He was killed in the attack. But it seems that Arye was a tall fellow and strong, and he took on one of the terrorists, or he had him down on the ground when the second terrorist saw and killed him. But he gave people enough time to get out of the shul. He saved lives, he gave his life. Great fellow. Further up the street, number 34, is Rabbi Twersky. Rabbi Misha Twersky was an enigel of Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. His mother came from the States. She was there across the street from us. It was the Levine family from Kansas City. The week in Har-Nof, of course, was a week of mourning, and I think nearly the whole world came to Rehov Agassi. Rabbanim, Agmerim, politicians, ambassadors, you name it, people came from all over the world to Agassi. Today they got up, this morning they got up from Shiva. Tonight there's going to be an Askara for all of them. Police are already closing off the street. The signs say that Rav Steinman is going to arrive and Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Wow. And there certainly will be a lot of big people, and many thousands will be there. There were many, many poignant moments during the course of the week. I just want to give you one that left me, I don't know what to do with myself. I just, very poignant moment was Thursday night. There was a knock on the door, and I see three girls. They couldn't have been more than 13 or 14 years old. And they have sakyot, nylonim, as they call them here, plastic bags. And there are food items in the plastic bag. When you see a young person coming to your door with a package of food items, the first thing you think about is
that
they're coming to get some donation of food for the poor. So I said, wait a minute, I'm going to go get something. No. The smallest of the girls was a short girl. I said, no. Lo banu latahat, banu latay. We didn't come to take, we came to give. I looked at her, what? And then she hands me a bag of cookies. And on the bag of cookies was number 1. Yamim lo kalim ovim al kulanu. Days that are not very easy are the days that we're living through. Atem mitmodedim mitziyot chayim lo pshuta umayemet. You have to measure up with a reality that is not simple. and it is a frightening one. V'anachnu b'not Ulpanat Eben Shmuel, girls who studied in a school called Ulpanat Eben Shmuel. From them I found out that Eben Shmuel is near Kiryat Gat. It's in the south. These little Medalach came from the south. Mehadarom. We, the girls of this school, Margishot B'yamin Tashim Elu, we feel in these difficult days, Chelet Nikem, that we are part of you. I'm already having difficulty getting through it. Banu Loma, we came to say Shatem Lo Levar B'chazit HaTeror Shem Medinat Yisrael. You're not alone in the front line of terror in the state of Israel. Kulanu B'yechad B'chazit Yerushalayim. This front called Yerushalayim, we're all together. Am Yisrael Do'eg U'mechazek Etchem. Am Yisrael worries about you and strengthens you. And the last sentence, of course, left me, I was crying already. Am HaNetzach Lo Mefached Miderech Arukah. An eternal people is not afraid of a long journey. We continue to travel the road. That was the motto, the slogan of the struggle for Gush Katif. Am HaNetzach Lo Mefached Miderech Arukah. So there were a lot of, there was an outpouring of all sorts of goodness and kindness and all the rest, you know. It should only last. There were other manifestations, but we're not going to talk about that now. We may save that for another time. There are always those who sort of pray to a certain extent on these kind of events, but they're very few, far between, and usually not Jewish. Number two. By the way, this year is going to be dedicated to a discussion of Har HaBayit. But these are introductions, and the shiur on Har HaBayit most probably will not end today. There is no way that I can cover the territory that's required to be covered with regard to Har HaBayit. But there was just one word in an article that appeared in the Jerusalem Post last week that when I said, I don't believe it. Or really, I do believe it, but that it was said. I mean, it told my price. Take a look at this sentence. Before I'm going to read the sentence to you, don't peek, it's not worthwhile. You'll understand it better after you hear me. You will understand it better after you hear the words of introduction. The introduction will make it possible for you to understand the import and the significance of one single solitary word in a Jerusalem Post. In 1990, there was an article in the Jerusalem Post. The writer made a prediction. The prediction was, fellow wrote in this article, that by the end of the century, the end of the decade, or a few years afterwards, man, woman, or child is going to get off a plane at Ben Gurion Airport, set foot on the tarmac, and a dramatic historic change is going to take place of awesome proportions. By the end of the century or a few years later, that man, woman, or child who will step off the plane onto the Admat Eretz Yisrael, at that moment what will happen is that Eretz Yisrael will become the largest Jewish community in the world. Background. when was the last time that the Jewish community of Eretz Yisrael was the largest Jewish community in the world? Bayit Rishon, during the period of the first Beit HaMikdash. Rishon, first. Second Beit HaMikdash, the peak population figure for the entire period of the Second Commonwealth is 2,350,000 Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Hashmonaim. That's Kislev, the time to talk about the Hashmonaim. But there were another 5-6 million Jews that were living in Asia Minor, most of them in Babel. Eretz Yisrael during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash was not the largest Jewish community in the world. But during the period of Bayit Rishon, not only was it the largest Jewish community in the world, it was the only Jewish community in the world. Fast forward 1940. 1940, there were 400,000 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. 20 countries of the world have far, far larger communities. America with its 5-6 million, what are you talking about? Russia with 3 million. Right, we can go through it. Germany, Hungary, Poland, they, country after country. And over the last 60 plus years, the balance of Jewish population has been changing, not slowly. In historic time periods, it's been happening rapidly, very rapidly. I feel bad that I don't think anybody took notice of the day or the year on which Eretz Yisrael had a community larger than the period of Bayit Sheni, that was around the Six-Day War. There were about 3 million Jews in Eretz Yisrael in 67. That's more than 2,350,000. And then the figures kept going up. On the other hand, the largest Jewish community in the world continued to diminish, unfortunately, for tragic reasons. Eretz Yisrael was growing for blessed reasons because people were coming here, and the American Jewish community was simply diminishing, committing suicide. They were simply being lost. Unfortunately, one of the greatest tragedies of Jewish history is the American Jewish community. You know, they like to feel that they're strong and they're influential. They have so much influence in the White House. Yes, sirree. And quite a community. But unfortunately, intermarriage and assimilation, they've lost millions. And at the same time, Jews continued coming to Eretz Yisrael. So this fellow in this article there in 1990 said that the balance is going to change. There's going to be a moment at which Eretz Yisrael will become the largest Jewish community in the world. The next step afterwards is going to be when the majority of Jews in the world live in Eretz Yisrael. That's a future step. Most probably the fellow who wrote the article would say that that's going to be coming quite rapidly over the next few years. Now, I want to make something very, very, very clear. I don't remember every article I read in the Jerusalem Post so well. This one I remember because I wrote it. Do you understand the number? Now let's read number two. Number two is an article in Jerusalem Post talking about the reaction was on Wednesday or Thursday the reaction in Jewish communities around the world to the tragedy of Rehov Agassi and Harnov. Speaking from New York, Rabbi Abraham Cooper, the associate dean of the human rights NGO Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles, told the Jerusalem Post, "The center is in touch with key Los Angeles Police Department officials." He noted the U.S. has the second largest Jewish community in the world. Second. I never saw a sentence like this in my life. And if Abraham Cooper, who's a Chasher Yid, he's been running the Wiesenthal Center for a long, long time, he knows exactly what he speaks, and his words are weighed and measured. The second largest Jewish community in the world. Which means we passed the point. And I knew that we passed it about 8, 9, 10 years ago. Of all the things in the middle of everything that's going on, we have a mitzvah of a young man from my community up in Lavi. It was difficult to go, but we felt, listen, because of the tragedy in Harnov, we can't ruin a boy's bar mitzvah. So I think there are 6 or 7 boys in the family. This was already the 3rd or the 4th Lavi bar mitzvah. We're getting ready for the next one, you understand? So I told him, I don't know. Maybe when you set foot in Eretz Yisrael, you changed history. Your parents came out of the yard, brought you. You may have been the one. Maybe one of your brothers. Who knows who it was? I know it wasn't me. I came in 1982, and this fellow who wrote the article wrote it in 1990, saying that it would be in 2000 or after. We've passed it. This is also significant to everything that we're talking. In other words, quietly, unobtrusively, without trumpets glaring, with terror attacks, Eretz Yisrael is growing. Not only Eretz Yisrael is growing, the number of Jews in the world has begun to climb for the first time since the Shoah, last year. The point over here being that there's no question about it. Anybody who has a head on his shoulders sees that this is a divine process. The salvation has it all planned out. Otherwise, there's no community in the world that has gone through such a dramatic change. And I believe it's summed up in one word. One word. I'm ready to bet if I will ask 50, 100 people, they won't have a clue what it means. Number 3 is from Parshat Nitzavim. It's the Parsha of Tshuva. And it says, Shav Hashem Elokecha et Shvutcha, God will return your captivity. V'nichamecha, and he will have mercy upon you. V'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'alim, he will go back there again and gather you in from all the nations. Asher hefitzcha Hashem Elokecha, Shama, that God dispersed you there. Here is a pasuk that I think I should sing, but I'm afraid I don't know it that well yet. I've been listening to this. There's I don't know if it's a new disc or relatively new disc of Mordechai Ben David. I'm not going to do it too well. I need a whole orchestra with me. But this passage has made me crazy. I keep listening to it in the car. Even if you're going to be cast out all the way at the very ends of the heaven, from there he will gather you. God your God will gather you. From there he's going to bring you back. And God is going to bring you to the land that your fathers inherited, be it Ishtar, and you're going to inherit it. It's not going to be anybody else's. Make no mistake, there will never be anyone else who will settle in this country and survive and thrive. It won't happen. And then hear the words, Ve'tivcha, and that little word that didn't come out too good, God is going to make you more than your fathers. Go ask 100 people, what does it mean? I'm telling you exactly the pshat. If your fathers during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash were no more than 2,350,000, there are going to be many, many more Jews than that. We're nearly up to 3 times as much as we're here during the period of Bayit Sheni. This is awesome. This is we're part of a process that is clearly stated in Torah without any doubt. There's no other way to learn Pshat. That's exactly what it means. But unfortunately, there's a price that's paid along the way. But we have to realize that ultimately it's going to end. It's going to end. Halavai that it should be Yomeinu in our days. The enemy will be subdued. Maybe we need... there's a friend of mine told me this morning, I don't want to mention his name yet, maybe we should be angry. There's a very beautiful article this morning in the Jerusalem Post. By the way, when I read on the Jerusalem Post, this is Torah. Not the Jerusalem Post, what am I saying about it? Here is this beautiful article about how Jews mourn. We mourn differently than all other people. There are no blood-curdling cries for revenge. And if that happens, you know, small number, but all right, so I'll say it, my good friend Rabbi Nachman Kahana said, there should be more anger. There should be more anger. He may be right. But there's one sentence, my wife showed it to me this morning, and it blew my mind away. The last thing in the article is, Israel is not a nation of anger. It has absorbed the necessity to continue to live, build, and thrive. With how many wars we've had more than any other people over our last 66 years. With all of the terror, what we do is we continue to live, build, and thrive. And our numbers are growing all the time. And here's the last sentence. As the Mexican proverb goes, they wanted to bury us, but they forgot we are seeds. They wanted to bury us, but they forgot that we are seeds. What a beautiful first nice thing that I read about Mexicans, you know. I thought it was all drug cartels and illegal immigrants. They wanted to bury us, but they forgot we are seeds.
Hey.
All right.
What? Can I say something short?
Very short.
In the name of Rabbi Nachman Kahana, he said...
But now we've given him enough.
No, no.
We've
probably
had enough.
No,
go ahead.
Binat Yisrael is like a baby. It cries and it grows. And it cries and it grows.
Did you hear that? Rabbi Nachman Kahana said that the state of Israel, or Am Yisrael, it's like a baby. It cries and it grows. It cries and it grows. I like that. I like that. I may not be embarrassed anymore to say that I'm a friend of Rabbi Nachman Kahana. All right. Number four. we had in last week's shiur. I'm repeating it again here, because it's very significant. What is meant when it says in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah, the great prophecy of Isaiah, Behochu Amim Rabim, many nations will go, V'omru, and they're going to say to one another, Lechu, let us go, V'na'aleh, and we're going to go up, El Har Hashem, El Beit, Elokei Yaakov, we're going up to the mountain of God, the house of the God of Yaakov. So the Rebbe Lezer says, Elokei Yaakov, why is the house on that mountain referred to as the house of the God of Yaakov? Isn't that the same God as the God of Abram and the God of Yitzhak? Ella, you know what Yeshayahu means? Lo ka Abraham shekatuv bohar. It's not like Abram who referred to that mountain as a har shenema. At the end of the Akedah he says, let it be said today that God will appear to his people on that mountain. The Loki Yitzchok, and not like Yitzchok Shekosu Bo Sodom, that by him it says, Sodom, he referred to the very same place. He referred to it as a field. Yitzchok went out to pray in the field. Ella, you know what it's going to be referred to? It is referred to like Yaakov Shekoro Bayit. The beginning of this Sedra, we have not forgotten, Parsha Vayetzeh. He has the dream. Where does he have the dream? That mountain. And then when he wakes up, he says, this must be the house of God. Vayikra Shem HaMokam Ahu, he called the place Beit El. And in time to come, the nations of the world are going to say, Lechu v'na'ala, let us go up to the mountain of the house of Yaakov. Number one, what's extremely significant is the following. We're about 2,000 years before Mohammed was ever born. And Jewish history, beginning with Avraham and the Akedah, its focus is that mountain. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. I want to read a Rambam to you that, you know, just occurred to me this morning and I didn't put it on here, but you can listen. The Rambam says the following, HaMizbeach, the altar of the Bet HaMikdash, Mekomo Mechuvan Biyoter, its place is absolutely perfectly calculated, exactly where it's supposed to be. And you are never permitted to change the place of the Mizbeach. And yet, when we will rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, we have to pull the ground down and make the exact calculations to know exactly where the Mizbeach is supposed to be. Shenema, as it says, V'zeh Mizbeach Lo'olah LiYisrael, this is it, means here is where it's supposed to be. And the Rambam goes on to say, "V'mizbeach ne'akad Yitzchak Avinu." Yitzchak Avinu was bound on the altar, on that self same spot. Shenema, as it says, God tells Avraham, "Take your one and only son, v'lech l'cha, and go el eretz Amoriah, to the land of Moriah." That's Moriah. V'nema, and it says also that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, by even Shlomo Habayit Bahar Hamoriah, exactly where Yitzchak was brought by his father Avram as a sacrifice, there is where Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash. Second halacha in the second chapter of Hilchot Beit HaBechira, the Rambam says, "Umasoret b'yad hakol." This is a tradition that has been handed down to all. The place where David and Shlomo built the altar, Begoren Aravna, in the threshing house of Aravna, there was a Yevusi by the name of Aravna who owned Harabayit. And David purchased it from him. And the money came from all of Israel. He wanted all of Israel to have a share. He purchased it fair and square. Like Avram purchased the Gemara Kamakpelah for an exorbitant sum of money. And like Yaakov Avinu purchased Shechem, B'nei Okesita, 100 coins of I don't know how much wealth. All right. Hu Amokom, the Raman goes on to say, that's fact. Hu Amokom Shebona Bo Avram on his bath, that's the place where Avram built him his bath, Bo Akad Olam Yitzhak and brought Yitzhak. Hu Amokom Shebona Bo Noach, Kishe Yotzom and Ateva. It says that when Noach came out of the ark, he made an altar and brought sacrifices to God. It was on that mountain. Do you understand? That mountain, which is in this city, is already the Masorah takes us all the way back at this point to Noach. You understand? To Noach. The mountain and the city that appear not even once in the Quran. No mention. Alright? Now, that's the place where Noach built a Mizbeach when he came out of the ark. V'hu ha-Mizbeach she'olam hikniv Kayin v'Hevel. Kayin and Hevel brought their sacrifices on that mountain. And furthermore, u'bo hikniv Adam harishon kishenivra korban efra of Adam harishon was created by God, he brought a sacrifice on that mountain. Umisham Nivra, the earth from which Adam HaRishon was born, was created, was from that mountain. Amru Chachamam, the Chachamam said, Adam, man, first man, Mimikom Kaparato Nivra, from the place that is the source of atonement for him, that's exactly where he was brought into being from. We go back pretty far with Hara Maria. And now, of course, we have a billion or more people who say that there was a temple, two temples, Mishkan first temple, Mishkan second temple. It's all garnished. Rewriting of history is awesome. By the way, what you have to keep in mind as we go through the halachic dimensions of this year, by the way, the Rambam was talking halacha. It was very important for him to let us know that the Masorah takes us all the way back to the creation of Adam from the earth of that mountain. We have a connection to that mountain going back to first man. No other people, race, creed, religion has any connection to it like our connection. What's taking place now every day on the mountain is the most outright act of theft in the whole world. There's nothing, no thievery like that on the face of this earth. I mean, this has to be understood as a background so that we should ultimately be able to come to some kind of a conclusion as to how should we react, how should we respond. But we're way off from that. We're not there yet. All right. Number five. Yeah, you can relax, because it'll take us another year, and if it takes more, we can go into extra innings. It happens to be most probably one of the most crucial questions that seeds, now it's not seething beneath the surface, it's above the surface. Hodu Hashem ki tov that Yehuda Glick walked out of the, or whatever he didn't walk.
He
was wheeled out of the hospital yesterday. Hodu Hashem ki tov kilel chazik. I knew that I used, but you know what? What he was when he came in, that's as good as walking out of that hospital. All right. Anyway. The last chapter in Sefer Shmuel, which is chapter 24 of Shmuel Bet. But for us, there's only one Sefer Shmuel, really. The division into Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet is Christian. It has there's no Jewish source for it whatsoever. But we're not going to talk about that now. Let's start talking about that now. We'll never get to Har HaBayit. Anyway, Sefer Shmuel ends with a chapter that begins in the following way. By Yosef, Af Hashem Lacharot B'Yisrael, the anger of God, was kindled against Israel. By Yosef and David Behem Lemar, God, in a sense, got David to do something he should not have done. Lemar, Lech Menei et Yisrael, that Yehuda, David decides he wants to count the people of Yisrael and Yehuda. And this was he was incited by Yosef, he was incited by God to do something terrible. And Israel is going to suffer because of it. Lech Menei et Yisrael et Yehuda, by Yomer HaMelech of Yoav, so the king, King David, said to Yoav, Sar HaChayel, the commander of his forces, Hashem Ito, Shut no bechol shivtei Yisrael, go out there throughout all the towns of Israel, Midon v'Be'er Sheva, from Donam to Be'er Sheva, pick to a town. Count them. V'yotapi et mispar ha'am, so I should know the number of the people. Now, according to Torah, you don't just count Jews. And if you do count, because there's a necessity, if there's absolute necessity to count, then the counting is done not by counting heads, but by either giving a shekel or anything, even a tenagrafis, and we count the pieces. Oh, how do we do it in Yiddish? When you count, nishtai, not one, not two, not three. Or Hoshiat Amecho, Uvarech Et Nacho, Techo Reim V'Nasim Avho Olam. That pasuk has ten words in it. So therefore, you know, you count 1 to 10 that way. Or Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. But don't use that. Don't use that. Okay. And goes on to say that Yoav tells the king, why do you need this? Why are you doing this? He lets him know, you don't do such things. David, for some strange reason, is absolutely insistent. And reluctantly, Yoav and his forces go out to count all of Israel. The king has commanded. They come back 9 months later, they tell and how many people there are. All sorts of questions of the numbers are unimportant. But the end is, after it's all over, David is struck with such terrible guilt. I made a terrible mistake. And he turns to God and he says, Vei, vei chatasi. But God says there has to be punishment. He gives him one of three choices. Either that he should be pursued by his enemies for 3 years, or that he, that should be hunger for 6 months. Third choice he has is a plague, an epidemic. Now you may know it from Davening. He chose immediately the third. By Yomet David El God, David said to God the Navi, who had brought him the three choices, Bede Niplo Navi Av Hashem, Ki Ravim Rachamot. The first two are either that he should be in the hands of his enemies, or in the hands of nature. An epidemic is completely gone. He says, Niplo Navi, I would rather fall into the hands of God, because his mercy is great. And there was an epidemic. there was a plague, and 70,000 Jews died in the plague. And then, right toward the end, the last few psukim of Shmuel, there's the Malach HaMashchis, there's the angel who is destroying, and God tells him, Herech Yadecha, and the finish. And where did Dovid HaMelech see the Malach? Over the granary of a Yavusi, the Jebusites are the ones who held Yerushalayim at the time, a fellow by the name of Aravna HaYavusi. And therefore David understood that he'd been given a message that this site is extremely important. And he purchased it from Aravna HaYavusi. And that's the site of the Beit HaMikdash. There's a lot to talk about, but that's not where we're going. Here's a wonderful, wonderful comment. What's the first word in this chapter 24? Vayosef af Hashem lacharot, and the anger of God again, even more, Vayosef. That means there was something else that God was angry about before, but it doesn't say in the pasuk what he was angry about. And Rashi, brilliant Rashi says, Vayosef af Hashem lacharot Yisrael, Lo yadati alma. I don't know. By the way, Rashi, in Tanakh, in all Tanakh, 77 times he says, Lo yadati. In Talmud, 44 times. One of them was at the end of Parashat Toldot. It says that Yaakov went to Paddan Aram as he had been commanded by his mother Rivka. Aim Yaakov the Esau, the mother of Yaakov and Esau. This is at the end of Parashat Toldot. The whole Parashat has been about the twins, the two sons of Rivka and Rivka. And they're at the end of the story, you know. Pasuk has to come along and tell us, Rivka, you know who Rivka is? Rivka is Ain, Yaakov and Esau, the mother of Yaakov and Esau. So Rashi there says, Lo yadati, I don't know why it was said. And the fact is that the Mefarshim give many reasons why it's said. Now Rashi could have said nothing. What happens if Rashi would have said nothing? So they would have said nothing. Nothing would have happened. The roof. The heavens wouldn't have fallen in if Rashi would have said nothing. If you don't know, you know, so gunished. No. Rashi obviously knew all of the other answers. They didn't satisfy him. You know what Rashi teaches us? A little humility. A little humility goes a long way to an appreciation and an understanding of Torah. There are enough people who have all sorts of pshatim and explanations and understanding of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you know what? It would have been infinitely better if they would have remained silent. There is a pollution of pshatim and Torah. Many are good, many are not good. Rashi says, Lo yadati. Rashi here says, he doesn't know what was God angry about at first, that his anger now becomes even greater, and he incites David to go ahead and do something. The Gemara refers to it in Brachos as something that Afilu Yelled, a child in school knows you don't count the Jewish people. And he made a mistake, Afilu Yelled. Penegish of Beschavon. The children, we're going to get there, okay? As an introduction to a great, great Ramban. We're going to take a look at number six. Number six is a pasuk in Hosea. And all of these are very important. They're all going to lead us to the point at which we may be able to at least understand what the debate of Har HaBayit is all about. And it's a serious one. It's an extremely serious one. But you're just going to have someone look. You're not going to get there today. Hosea says, Achar, afterwards, we'll see right away what that means. After that, Yashuv v'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel will return, ubikshu, and they're going to seek out at Hashem Elokeim, God their God, ve'idavid malkom, they're going to seek their king David, ufachadu el Hashem, and they will tremble before God, ve'el tuvo, and about his goodness, ba'acharit hayamin, at the end of days. We'll go back over the pasuk in a moment. Let's see what Rashi has to say. Achar, after what? So Rashi says, Achar yivei ha-gola. After the gola is over, that means Jews are back in Eretz Yisrael. Something is going to happen. Yashuvu v'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel, will turn to pitch you, they're going to seek out God. Tonu mishum Rav Shimon ben Yochai. We learned in the name of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Rashbi. Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Begimul dvarim mo'asu b'nei Yisrael b'mei Rechavam. Rechavam was the son of Shlomo. In his days, Jews rejected three things. Devalchus Shalayim. They rejected the kingdom of heaven. Ubemalchus Beis David. They rejected the kingdom of the house of David. Ubebet HaMikdash, and they rejected the Beit HaMikdash. And Rashi brings a pasuk, that is Rav Shimon Yochai brings a pasuk, that they said when they split, when Yisrael, the ten tribes, went their way, they said, Ein lanu chelek b'David. We have no share in David, so Rashi says, that means kemashmo, exactly what it means, David is not our king and the house of David. David is no longer alive. Eilam Chelet David, we have nothing to do with the kingdom of the house of David. Le'oholecho Yisrael, to your tents, Israel. So Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, Al tikri le'oholecho, don't read it to your tents. Elo le'elokecha. We have no part in God. The A Beit HaDavid, and what else did they reject? They said, David, keep your house, the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit Hay is Beit HaMikdash. Amar Rav Shimon ben Menasseh said, Ein Marin Simin Tov Yisrael, Israel will not see a sign for the good. Until they return, and they're going to seek out all three. They want them. And that's the pasuk over here. Achar, afterwards, after the Yemei HaGolah, Yashuv b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel, will return. Ubikshu at Hashem, they're going to seek God. That's Malchut Shamayim, the kingdom of heaven, that they rejected in the days of Rechavam. They are now going to seek it out. There's David Malcolm and their king David, Kimashmo, exactly as it means. They will want the kingdom of the house of David. Upachadu al Hashem ve'al tuva, they will tremble before God in his goodness. Zeh Beit HaMikdash, that is the Beit HaMikdash, as it says, Hahor HaTov HaZeh, at the beginning of the verb, Hahor HaTov HaZeh, that good mountain. You know what's on that good mountain? That's the Beit HaMikdash. So Hosea is telling us that ultimate tshuva is going to be where Jews are going to seek and desire and actively work toward making God king of the world and a member of the house of David as king of Israel, and they're going to seek out and desire the Beth HaMikdash. Okay. Now we can go to the next step. Turn over. We'll just do a little bit. Number 8. Don't think there's anything else. But you won't understand anything unless I give you the correct introductions. All right. There's a very famous Ramban. And we're going to look at sections of this famous Ramban. Don't be intimidated. Okay. I'll make it simple. The Ramban, it's Ramban in Chumash in Parashat Korach. It's related to Parashat Korach, but that doesn't interest us. The Ramban explains what is this Vayosef Hashem, that God got even angrier about, which Rashi, he will say, says, Lo Yadate, I don't know what God is angry about. The Ramban is going to make it very simple. For heaven's sake, 350 years after the Jews had come in with Yahushua, and there was no Beth HaMikdash, what are they waiting for? Why didn't anybody in those 350 years say to the shofet, to his local rabbi, his rebbe, to Shmuel, to Eli, Ehud ben Gera, Shimshon, let's build the Beth HaMikdash? Not a word. Silence. And the Rebbeinu was wondering, what's happening over here? Everybody, and there are psukim that validate everything. They're building their homes. And people are building even nicer homes. You know, they throw down 3 tents and put up a 4-story house. And the Rebbeinu is going to complain. I've been going from tent to tent. They've been moving around. From Gilgal to Nov to Givron to Shiloh, I'm schlepping around. A God without a home. A homeless God. The Ramban says, that's what God is angry about. 350 years and nobody cares about what's going on the mountain over there. And you know in whose hands the mountain is? The hands of the Yavusi. Oh, God, goodness, what are they doing there? L'shichmo tidrishu vosu shoma. You have to come there to that mountain, you have to build a Beth HaMikdash. The Golden Sanhedrin says, Shalom, Shmitzos, Nitzavu, Yisrael, 3 mitzvahs. The Jews were commanded when they came into Eretz Yisrael. L'hach nitzare shel Amalek, to destroy Amalek. Lemanot lehem melech, to appoint a king, and libnot lehem Beth HaMikdash, and to build a Beth HaMikdash. The Gemara says they were commanded these 3 things when they came into Eretz Yisrael. It's 350 years later. And there is no, there's no movement, there's no, what are they called? The Temple Mount Faithful? Do we know Yehuda Blitz? No Yehuda Blitz. Nobody out there. Nobody cares. What's going on? The Ramban says, that was the Aveira. Everything that happens is because of that Aveira. His proof, of course, is going to be because when the Malach is ready to strike even more Jews, he appears over the Temple Mount, and there God says to him, Heref Yodecha, stop. That was the siman, that was the indication to Dor HaMelech that we have to build a Beit HaMikdash, and here it is, and he purchases the land from Arad HaYebusi, and in Sefer Divrei HaYomim, There's a chapter which describes the feverish activity of David HaMelech in order to prepare all that is necessary to build the Beit HaMikdash, because he will not build it. He is told by God, Dam l'rom shafachta, lo tivta bayit l'shmi, you spilled much blood, you cannot build the Beit HaMikdash. But your son who comes after you, he will build it. But the only thing that David understood is he cannot build, but he can make all of the preparations. He prepares all of everything is ready. David HaMelech does whatever he can. So here the Chazal is telling us the great sin of Klal Yisrael for 350 years is nobody cared. No, we'd have to see if there's a message from this for our time. Just a few lines in the Hamdan, and Mirz Hashem will continue next week. There's a great deal of very important material here. The Od, the Ramban says, Kimuvad HaMinyan, aside from David's counting the people, which was sinful, Hoyo'onish Al Ha'am Mitchilav Davar, from the very beginning, even before he counted the people, there was punishment hovering over the Jewish people. As it says, by Yosef, Af Hashem, Lacharot Yisrael, and the anger of God continued, or in added fashion, burned against Israel by Yosef and David Behem, because Hashem Rashi, and Rashi wrote over there, Lo Yadati Allah. I don't know why. What's God upset about? That doesn't stop the Ramban. Rashi didn't know. Okay. Vani omer b'derech svara. Vani omer, I say b'derech svara. This is his own. By the way, we'll see later that what he said was his own. Appears in a message that the Ramban was not aware of. The Ramban svara was pretty, pretty good. Of course, we can attempt to figure out forever. Rashi didn't know what the Ramban says, but Rashi, for some reason, rejected it. We don't know. So if Rashi says Lo Yadati Alma, I don't know. I can say about Rashi, I don't know why he rejected the Ramban, but we can think about it. You have a whole week. You can think about it. I say, from logic, there was a punishment hovering over the Jewish people because of their delay, their tarrying in building Beit HaMikdash. What the Rebbeinu would have wanted is that there should be a movement amongst the people, we want the Beit HaMikdash now. Nothing. Right. Yes, Hashem Gesundheit. We will bring it down to the present two main positions in the Jewish community. And the two positions are light years apart. And I'm going to try my very best to be even-handed. That was the correct response. I gotta close that. Come around the front. Close it. That's it.